We are holding an Amud Sinai in Zion in the Tefillah. I want to go back to Nekudah that we sort of said quickly last time. We spoke about the man Shmoy Biahava, and he speaks about Zacheinu L'Chaim. I want to go back to the point that he makes over here about Zacheinu L'Chaim and give it some sort of deeper tfisa of what it is. Maisha, you want to move closer a little bit? Just be easier. Just, I won't have to yell that loud. There's a question that everyone asks. How is it that we stick in bakoshes of in middle of the bracha that we're speaking, addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says the following. He says, the Zacheinu L'Chaim has a mokim in Avis, because he writes, and each one of the Avis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megalas Aratzim V'Chaim, by Avraham Avinu, that he saved him from Urkastim, by Yitzchak, that he says, Al Tishach Yodchal Adnar Vatastai Me'uma, Yaakov Avinu said, Es Onyi V'Zigia Kapiro L'Kim V'Yachach Emesh, and Melech Mashiach L'Man Shmoy. I want to try to explain a fine nekuda over here that we're talking about. Be'emes, every single bakasha that we have in Shemoneh Esrei seems to pit us against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's explain, let's take it down. Let's say you're eating by somebody, and you say, could I have another piece of fish? So the sense is that there's a give and take. There's a masa matan. He has fish. I would like a piece of fish. So I'm asking, I'm taking my need versus your assets, and I'm trying to shift something from your assets to my needs. It might be fine, might be okay, but that's what I'm doing. So lechura in Shemoneh Esrei, in Tefillah ba'Oifen Klali, I'm sort of putting my needs vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't given me such great health. I say, I would like you to give me great health. He hasn't given me such great parnasa. I'd like to give me great parnasa. He doesn't give me so much seichel. I'd like you to give me seichel, and so on. Those are all ke'ilu, somewhat of a stira. There's me and there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I would like to reshift the balance a little bit. That's, in a sense, a certain nekuda that's happening in tefillah that's problematic. We need to set up the tefillah very differently. Not that there's anything wrong with it. There's nothing wrong when you're eating at somebody and there's a big platter of fish to ask for another piece of fish. Nothing wrong with that. But in tefillah, where the whole metzias of tefillah is a chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't sit well. I mean, the chibur of being a beggar is not a terribly great chibur. It's true that the person collecting the mishulach and the person giving money have a connection, but I wouldn't call it a connecting connection. That's not the metzius of it. The answer is, tefillah is, when we say yu l'ratzayin, it means that we would like tefillah to be a hemshech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. We would like that what we're asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu be the Ratzon. So it's not the pshat. I have my needs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has what he can give. I'm asking / demanding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can shift the balance a little bit. Even there's no problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has plenty to give. That's not the issue. The issue is, in that relationship of me versus him, that's not a relationship. So what tefillah seeks to do is as follows. I need to synchronize my needs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desires and make sure they're one and the same. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to engage life with das, so we say, Atochein Elodim das. So in other words, all of the needs that we request are in line with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us and told us to do, we have to do it. It's right to do it, and we need to ask for it. Tefillah is another dimension in the realm of things that we do. What about existence itself? I'm saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you don't give me enough food, I can't exist. If you don't give me enough wherewithal to get on with my asakim, I can't exist, and so on. So I'm putting down a sort of a given that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me, that I'm important enough. Because all of these bakashas, being in line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, only makes sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me. If I tell somebody, listen, I won't be able to go on a trip with you if you don't give me money for the ticket and for food and so on. And I'll say, you know what? That would be a great way to save some money. You know, how about you don't go on the trip with me, and I think it'll be like a double gain. I'm making an assumption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me, and therefore all my needs are his wants and his needs. So Zachreinu L'Chaim means the Bakasha for Chaim, as opposed to all other Bakashas, goes to the heart of my being. Is it important that I exist? What difference does it make I exist or don't exist? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called a Melech Chafetz B'Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be, wants us to exist. And therefore, he says, it fits in Avos, because that Gilui, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants existence, we have it in the Avos. We have it in Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying for more Kastim. We have it in Yitzchak. So even though he did the greatest mitzvah, did Kiddush Hashem and everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Avram's life to live and to exist and to do. Yitzchak and Yaakov, it's interesting. He brings the pasuk, "Kes onye vigia kape roala kiverach emesh." I want to maybe explain a minute why that's an important point. The Gemara says that ani is chashev kemeis, that a poor man is considered like dead. There are many pshatim for that. I don't know if it needs pshatim, but there are many pshatim. And besides, today to die costs a lot of money. By the time you finish the expenses of dying, it doesn't come cheap today. But al kapanim, ani is chashev kemeis. The reason is because an ani is someone that has no tools to function. He can't do anything. He can't accomplish anything. So a person who can't accomplish anything is as good as dead. What point? In other words, to exist just as a breathing piece of meat is not existence. To be able to do something is to exist. So when Yaakov says, HaKadosh, es onye vigia kaperol kim vayuchach emesh, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood he wants me to exist in the sense of accomplishment. So the bakashas for chayim and for chiyus is a bakasha for existence in a tzura that is in line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once it's given that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he needs me, quote unquote, not because he needs me, but because he wants to need me. So therefore, once my existence is in place, then everything else also falls into place. I want to add somewhat of a tangential point, but it's a very powerful point. We think everybody wants to live. That's our strongest instinct, and survival is a very, very strong instinct. When the pasuk says "Bacharta b'chayim," the pasuk pshat is that we're talking about ruchnistic life over physical life. I was reading recently the Klausmer Gerev's biography, and when they freed the camps, or right before that, there were not a few people who really preferred to die. To wake up without anything, everything gone from you. You look dead. You have no family left, no country, no money, no employment, no health, nothing. Quite a few people just wanted to sort of, didn't take much to just phase out and die. Either, you know, there are different ways, you know, you can run against the fence, you can this, or just stop functioning. You know, you needed every bit of willpower. And the Rebbe told people, there's a mitzvah's essay b'charta b'chayim, and to want to live and exist. So when we have things that are going good and okay, and it's one of the things that we need to, in the moments when things are good, when a person has it good or even somewhat good, the desire to live is in us, and it doesn't need any mitzvah. It doesn't need any ruchniistic coaxing to that a person would want to live. That's our strongest instinct. But let's say a person, lo aleinu, is holding towards the end of, you know, his years, and he's old, and everything is falling apart, and he really has, there's very little that he enjoys and feels emotionally useless and so on and so forth, that a person should want to live. Because the person, because Chaim itself, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to live, then my chiyus is his ratzon, even if it's not my particular pleasure, is the first time that we come with an isoyin or b'charta b'chaim. It's a two-way street. Yes, when we enjoy life, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, you would like us to live, and therefore I'm doing what it takes, and therefore give me what it takes to live. It's fair b'kasha. But the real test, if we really are resonating with Melech Chavetz B'chaim, that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu who wants, that Rabbi Avraham Gudzinski also, so it's fascinating how big people had similar perspectives with different. When there was Shilas in the ghetto, of draying a little bit to be able to push off being killed for a few days, a few hours. Rabbi Avraham Gudzinski was very insistent, and himself, he was very sick. He had been beaten up and so on, and he pushed to survive a few more hours, you know, whatever, to get this transport, that transport. And he said over by Yonah, it says Sauni Vataluni. He said, "Carry me and throw me into the yam." So he asked, "Why is carry me? Throw me into the yam?" That's, you know, it's carrying. It implied that they would take him to a specific location, the boat. So he said, every minute of living is important. So gaining a moment of life is important. So when a person is full of tanugim and taivis and he wants another few minutes, that's not an indication, any sense of the ratzon chayim, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. But when a person doesn't have it, when life is very, very, very difficult, whatever way, and then a person says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech chafetz b'chayim, that means I need to just continue living because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to live, that's where you have this nisayon. That's what he's saying over here. That it's a... I want to add another piece over here. He doesn't talk about it, but I think it's important to be mashlim, to give a sort of ashlama to what he said over here. We said al kei Avraham, al kei Yitzchak, al kei Yaakov, and we spoke about the fact that when we face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be imminent, real, so to speak. And the only way we have it is when we attach it to someone that displayed Elikus. There's a Chazal, two Chazal. There's a Gemara in. There's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi's girsa is Elokei David also. That's the Yerushalmi's girsa. The Bavli is not girsa Elokei David. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that David HaMelech told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, how come I'm not included? Why is there no Elokei David? So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, they were misnasili, inasuli, and you aren't misnasili. They passed nisyonos, and you didn't pass any nisayon. That's the Gemara. So, learning up the Gemara properly, you understand the following. Be'emes, the Bavli holds like Yerushalmi, that Alekei David had a quality that made him somebody ra'ui to be part of Shemoneh Esrei, and it is like that. David is called the fourth wheel of the Merkava, and so on. Except that there was a reason because of a lack of nisayon. So what is it about a Nisayan that makes him roy for it? I mean, Nisayan is harder. So normally it's like on a Scrabble board, you have, double credits, triple credits. Okay, when we do something and it's not so hard, we get X credit. When we do something, it's hard, we get a little more credit. So that makes it, where's that sharp dividing line? What's a Nisayan more than more credit? It's very hard. A person who looks at things in a fundamental way, like a Lamdin, to say more and less are meaningless terms. You need to give a clear category, categorical differences. Another, there's a Chazal by Iyov. It says it's a Yalkut Shemayni in Iyov, and it says over there Iyov, if he wouldn't have been Kara tag on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we'd be saying Elokei Iyov, just like we say Elokei Avraham Kes Yaakov, because he was in the Nisayon. So by Iyov we see that standing in the Nisayon is significant. Why? So I want to explain the Nekudah. Every person has two layers of himself. Him and the abilities that Kodesh Baruch Hu put into him. And when I see somebody doing a mitzvah, a ma'isim tovim, and it's in his nature. He's a smart guy. He enjoys intellectual challenges, and he's sitting and learning. So I see a fulfillment of his kohos, which is very nice. This person is a nice person, good-hearted, kind-hearted, helpful. So he does something. So I see a nice person with very nice kohos. And he does it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it, so it's very, very nice. Sometimes, I see every person has within himself a chelek alakai mimau. He has within himself a nekuda of neshama. That's not him. It's vayipach ba'apav, it's something not human. And that's in a person. And when I see somebody do something that I can't possibly see it as coming from within the person, from the person himself, I say, you know, this person has something in him that's divine. There's a likus in the person. Something is coming through that it's a gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I want to look for a parallel, the same word nisayan is like the word nes. The word nes means like this. When I see a huge, grand something in the Bria, the place in Niagara Falls, and I'm very, very taken by it, and I look at a huge ocean, so I say, this ocean is magnificent. Where did it come from? It must have been HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm a Shabeach, and I say, Oysa Maisa Breishis. That's very nice. But what I see is a yam with the kohos of a yam, and I ask myself, where did it come from? So I see a person who's very smart. I say, where does all that brains come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I see a person who's very nice. Where does the coins come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when I see a yam split, I say, whoa, there's nothing in the water that allows it to split. It's something that's coming from the Dvar Hashem that's in the water. The first time I see Kol Hashem Alamayim, the second one I see Dvar Hashem L'Olim Tzashrayim, there's a Dvar Hashem there that when it chooses, it rips open and the waters, and that's it. So whenever a Megala, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that sort of overflows, and I see the Yad Hashem, or when I see Dvar Hashem, that's Nes. So Nes and Nisoyen are both of them the same idea, that a person has a natural self, and b'meila the person can show his self, and by extension I say, well, where did such a nice person come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a two-step process. The person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes I see something come out that I just can't imagine. It's not the person. It's something within him much bigger than the person, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in its nes in the Bria, it's nisoyan in a person. I always thought that it's an extraordinary juxtaposition of nun and samach. It's a nes. The nun, Chazal say in the Gemara Brachas, why is there no nun in Ashrei? Because it's on the pasuk of Nafalta L'Saisiv Kum Psulas Yisrael. That nun is nefila, and that's terrible. So it says, the Gemara says, still, David HaMelech gave it a samach, because Tzemach Hashem Chol HaNoifin. So what's the combination of nun and samach? The person is a fallen person. The person is a person who is fallen. Seimech Hashem L'chol HaNoiflim, something else came and picked him up. So in the nun and the samach together, I deher where the person ends and where our Kadosh Baruch Hu starts. So what we're speaking about, that's the Pshat Negemaris. When I say Elokei Avram, what's wrong with Avram? Avram was a great person. Yitzchak was a great person. Yaakov was a great person. I don't see Elokei Avram Ketzer Yaakov. When your Omid bin Nisoyen says, Avram comes as a package deal. You get Avram, who's a great person, and you get HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an Elokei Avram because certain things are not possible for a person to do, and it must be Elokei Avram. And same with Yitzchak. And Yaakov and David, had he been Omid bin Nisoyen, and Eov, had he been Omid bin Nisoyen. That's the Havan in Akimara. And I just want to add something. It gives us a whole different way of looking at Nisoyen. Normally, two things. First of all, we say to ourselves, you know what? I learn, and it's great. What do I get from a Nisoyen? It becomes harder, a little more credit, a little more this. Okay, you know, loy haim v'loy scharam. Nobody, if people don't relish nisyonos, we're mespal every day, ultimately nisyon, because we know that we can't possibly on our own cope with it. It also, most of the time when we have a nisyon, it just sets us back. It takes me a long time to learn something. So you're right, at the end of a day, I know it also. But it took me so much more time than anybody else, and it was so much more difficult, and so much more false starts. So why do I need it for? You know, some people have a problem. Some people have an easier time with Kedusha. It doesn't take much, and you know they're okay. Some people have a strong taiva, and it's a constant battle. And so when you tell somebody, you get a little extra schar, it's like sometimes you say somebody earns a wage, and you tell them, you know what? You get a few extra dollars if you work the whole weekend. So I say, you know what? You keep the few extra dollars and I won't work the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. It's not. But Nisoyen makes the person a Merkava for the Shekhinah. And again, we're not talking, it's never either or. It's never like Avraham Avinu's Nisoyen and Dov and Yehov's Nisoyen, this and that. Every person has his own set of Nisyonos. And those things that a person come easy. For one person, he's very bright and learning comes easy, but he can't sit still. And sitting for the half hour, the hour is a problem. For the second person, the sitting is easy, but getting along with people is difficult. He's always somehow always friction with other people. A third person has very time with people, but he's always he has a strong taiva and it's pushing him all the time, and it's very hard to deal with it. Yes, it's difficult and it's frustrating. But it's not frustrating when you realize that when a person, on those areas that a person feels are his personal nisyonos, and again, we don't have to be put into kifshana eish, it's where it is that we're having difficulty. So when I see somebody who doesn't have an easy time learning, and when I see somebody who's bright and focused and he learns, I see a person doing good things. When I see somebody counter to what his abilities and personality is, applying to something, doing right, then I see a certain nitzitz of something beyond a person. I see something l'malam d'archateva, kefi erkei, and a person becomes a vehicle for something else. It's a tremendous. It puts the soul in different perspective. We still need to be mispalat v'nei soul because we recognize how difficult it is, but it makes it rewarding. Yes, for me it was Kriyas Yamsa to sit for an hour where I see Yankel sits for 5 hours. But that hour I displayed something that was beyond me. It displayed something in me that's divine. And that's the... So when we say Elokei Avram, Ketzel Yaakov, it's all different time. We saw Elokei Avram. We didn't see the great Avram Avinu. In Avram's Maisim, we saw Elokus. In Yitzhak's Maisim, and Yaakov's Maisim. And by extension, anybody who's ever omid ben nisoyen, kefi dargas the nisoyen that the person is omid, that becomes an alakei of that person. Okay, we'll hold it here.